wait till tomorrow night for another incredible, awesome encounter with God. Let's pray the Lord holds the rain back. At least a quarter of seven. We don't care if it pours now while we're in here. But during the day, let's get it dry so we can get some stuff done. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20. Bless the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Try it. Come, my people, into your chambers and shut the door about you. Hide yourself in that chamber for just a little moment till these perilous, evil, wicked times pass by. For just a few moments tonight, I want to deal with the subject. Come. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you, God, because you're an almighty, on-time God. And on these lips, we pray that your word go forth in demonstration of power. And we'll never fail to give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty, wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. And the church says, just for a few moments tonight, we're dealing with the subject, come, my people. This is the cry of the Holy Spirit that was moving upon the prophet Isaiah. The Lord began to stir in his heart and said, come, my people. Not just anybody. Not just someone on the street. Not just this one that's involved in that or evil. But he said, my people. Those that are called by my name. Those that I know. Those that I've purchased. Those that I have redeemed. He said, come, my people. I want you to come. Where does he want him to come to? He said, I want you to go into your chambers. You see in Matthew chapter 6, the Bible said there are three things we do in secret, and God gives us an open reward. And with this open reward, the favor and the grace comes upon your life, and everybody looks and says, something supernatural is going on in him. There's something incredibly awesome that's going on in his life. There is something wonderful that is moving in his soul. This can only be the blessing of God. This can only be the mercy of God. He said, if you fast, you weaken your flesh. He said, if you give, you restore your soul. He said, if you pray, it builds up your faith. It builds up your spirit. You see, the Word of God, Jesus said, when you pray. What do we mean by when you pray? He didn't say, if you pray, or if you think about praying, or if trouble comes hard enough, you're going to pray. Jesus said, when you pray. You see, when we are conceived in our mother's womb, we live in this wonderful environment for a gestation period of about 9 months. Oh my goodness, it's 98.6. We love it. It's just like swimming around in the Caribbean. Three hot meals a day coming down the umbilical cord. I mean, we don't want to leave. It is our world. And we love our little world. We're floating around like a scuba diver. Oh, I mean, it's just one wonderful time. It's a place where you can't nick your knee. You can't bump your little head. It's a place where you can't hurt yourself. It's a place that is just, oh, it's so protected. Hearing the heartbeat of your mother and hearing the sounds around you, we don't want to leave. But after 9 months, your mother goes into travail. She said, let me tell you something, baby. You've got two hands that need to work. You've got two feet that need to walk. You've got a mouth that needs to speak. And you're not going to stay in this world. This is not the world that you were created in. Oh, glory to God. And then what happens is the doctor or whoever, the midwife, holds on to that umbilical cord when the baby is delivered. And the moment that the umbilical cord is cut off, there is a mechanism in the brain. And that mechanism begins to trigger inside that baby. And that baby says, hold it right here. I'm not going to get any more air through that umbilical cord. I better open my mouth and I better start to breathe. And the baby is born with a drawing mechanism. Nobody has to teach that baby. That baby don't have to have 10 classes. Let me tell you how to get milk from your mother. Let me tell you how to survive to get milk from your mother. That babe has an automatic, given by God, nature inside of that baby. That baby says, my mother is the one that conceived me. My mother is the one that carried me. My mother is the one that gave me life. And my mother is the one that's going to sustain life. So the baby goes to the mother, and from the mother begins to nurse and draw the life. The one that gave life is now bringing life in a new world. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. The moment we confess Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the moment He becomes real to our soul and His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God, all things are passed away and all things become new. It is at that time the Holy Ghost clamps off this old world. The old man has to have, he has to get cut off. And all at once we begin to breathe air that comes from a heavenly place. And it is then that we realize it's by God I have been conceived. It's by God that I have developed. It's by God that I'm in this born again experience. And then we do something. We go to our God naturally. We don't have to have 15 classes to tell us. We don't have to have 25 counselors to tell us. But we know the one who gave us life was Jesus. And there is a spiritual mechanism that takes place in the heart of every man and woman that has truly been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. And that mechanism says, I must get in the presence of God. I must come into Him. And that's what we call prayer. It is prayer. When we come into a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's when we come into prayer. It's when our spirit is in contact with the holy, almighty, eternal God. Prayer is not some little religious motion. Prayer is not somebody's formula of 15 things to say. Prayer is not something you time yourself to see whether you did it or not. Prayer is not something that's led by rules and restrictions, but prayer is coming into the presence of God, and you feed until you want no more. Hallelujah, praise till you want no more, and you glorify God until your soul is satisfied. And there's something about in the natural. After you eat, it sustains for a while. But it's not long. You got to go back and get some more. It's not long. Once you have tasted a personal, intimate relationship with Christ, once you have come into His presence, once you have come under the shadow of the Almighty, there is a drawing that comes to you that says, I've got to have some more. I've got to have some more. I've got to have a touch. I've got to know that my Redeemer lives. Let's give Him some praise.
Hallelujah.
Oh, let's give Him some praise.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus never said, if you pray, if you think about prayer. He never said, maybe you just not just happen to pray. He said, when you pray, because He knew your vitality. He knew that your survival, He knew that your very existence in this world depended not upon a preacher, not upon a service, not on somebody's creed, not on somebody's book, not on somebody else's experience, but your personal, intimate, eternal relationship depended on you coming to Him, the one who gave you life, that you would come into His presence, that you would come in to the glory of God. Isaiah begins to speak. He said, my people, always said troubles coming upon the world. The old Timothy said in 2 Timothy 3:1, he said, know this also, church, that in the last days, dangerous, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves. They're going to be coming covetous, boasters, proud, unthankful, ungodly, truce breakers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, disobedient to parents. He said they're going to be unthankful, unholy, all without natural affections, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said dangerous times were coming upon this earth. The Bible said that creation is going to travail until the sons of God are manifest. The earth is going to keep on shaking. The tsunamis are going to keep on coming. The fish are going to keep on dying. The birds are going to keep on falling from the sky. The volcanoes are going to keep on erupting. The entire environment of this cataclysmic world is shaking and trying to tell us something, that something is on the brink, that there's a new age coming, that something is coming. There's a birth of a new people. There's a birth of a new age. This is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it.
Hallelujah!
Come on, give us a praise to God. There's cataclysmic events coming up on the face of this earth. There's indignation coming. There's boiling hot wrath. There's all kinds of turmoil coming. But he said, I want my people, I want you to come into your chamber. The same word Jesus used when he said, enter into your closet. That is the Greek word. In the Hebrew word, they use the word chamber. Come into the chamber. Come into the place of my presence. Come into the chamber in your home, wherever your chamber may be. You see the Spirit-filled, full gospel, charismatic, Pentecostal movement, however you want to call it. We have beautiful buildings now. We have padded pews and chandeliers. Have incredible, awesome respect among the world. Oh, yes, we do. But we never got here overnight. We got here by prayer. We got here by personal, intimate prayer. We got here by home prayer meeting. We got here by praying in the afternoon. We got here not because somebody made us pray, but we got here because we knew if we was ever going to survive, if we knew we was ever going to make it, we had to come into the chamber. We had to come into the closet. We had to come into this place of refuge. In 2 Kings chapter 4, the word chamber is used again. And the Bible said there was a very wealthy woman, had all kinds of resources. And she said, I perceive that there's a man by the name of Elisha. And this man is a man of God. He is my connection to heaven. He's my connection to the throne of grace. She said, honey, let's build an apartment. Let's make him a chamber. I don't want it over here on the other side of the lot. No, 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 no. I don't want it back behind the barn. I don't want it on some of our rental property over there. Honey, I want him to stick it right onto the house. I want this chamber. I want it right into the house. I want it somewhere where I can get close to God. I want it somewhere where I can get a hold of God when I need to get a hold of him. I want something to hate. I want to build this chamber. And she said, I want you to put four items in there. I want you to put a bed. Say the word bed. I want you to put a table. I want you to put a stool, and I want you to put a candlestick. These are four things in this chamber. They are prophetically written in the scripture to tell us that when we come into the chamber, when we come into the presence of God, there prophetically are four things we can expect to happen when we come into this awesome place of the incredible presence of God. Inside of this chamber is a bed, first of all. And this bed represents the rest of God. Oh, we're living in such a day and hour. Homes are unrestful. Employment is unrestful. Money is unrestful. Churches are unrestful. It seems like people have given themselves to diamonds, given themselves over to a bottle of wine, given themselves. Alcohol is a personality-altering drug. It's a type of a drug changing. It changes your personality. And the church now has got to drink. Because they're drinking the old wine instead of new wine. I mean, they're going nuts because there's no rest. I mean, they're going nuts, and people make fun of me all the time. They say, oh, you're old school, everything. I'm not hooked on alcohol, and I don't have to have a bag to go to sleep. I said, because I find my rest. Like Isaiah said, Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28 said, with stammering lips and another tongue, shall I speak unto the people, whereby the weary shall find rest, and this is the refreshing. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Found my rest. I said, I found my rest. I found my rest in the bed of rest, in the prayer chamber. I found a place where I could get alone with God. I found a place. So I said, preacher, you ever had trouble? Whoa. They used to sing a song when I was a little boy, said, trouble. I've seen trouble all around my door. Well, go and leave me, old man, trouble. I don't want any trouble anymore. And then they said, I can't stand up all by myself. I can't stand up alone. I can't stand up all by myself. I sure can't stand alone. Saying is this, I've got to go into the prayer chamber. I've got to go into the chamber. There's indignation in every hand. There's trouble on every hand. I've got to go to the prayer chamber. I've got to find my bed of rest. So many times I'm reminded of the old saints. You see, back in the embassy of the church that I pastor the church I'm born and raised in. And 57 or 58 years ago, when we didn't have a pastor, the pastor was gone, and it looked like our little mission was going to close down. My mother told my daddy, she said, I got a cousin that's on fire for God. Said he's been saved and delivered, and he's preaching. I want you to go to the Laurel Pentecostal Church where my great-grandmother is, and I want you to bring Chester down. See if he'll come down and help us. Dad made his trip all to my great-grandmother's house. It was just a normal country, Appalachian people. They were sitting on the porch, you know how to do. And there they all were sitting. Dad pulls up after hours of driving. He said, I've come to find Chester. And his mother, Aunt Helen, she said, Tommy, Chester's moved. He's moved to another place about 12, 14 miles away. None of us have ever been there. We don't even know where he lives. We don't know anything about him. And they said, no, we don't know. What do you need Chester for? Daddy said, well, our little church is having trouble. It looks like the doors are going to have to close if we don't get somebody. And Janice sent me here. And Janice said that Chester's got the Holy Ghost. And God can move through Chester. And my Aunt Helen, she looked back at Daddy. And she said, Tommy, I don't know where he lives, but God does. Let's get in the car. You do the driving. She said, you do the driving. And when you do the driving, she said, I'll do the praying. So Aunt Helen, hallelujah, Aunt Helen, she began to pray. And as she began to pray, she had her eyes closed, and Dad was a dyed-in-the-wool Baptist. Oh, yeah. He didn't know what was coming off on this. His wife that he had married was dyed-in-the-wool holiness. Yes. I mean, a ponytail shaking, aisle running, guitar playing, holy roller. Yes. Dad didn't know what to do. Here he is, a Southern Baptist boy, gets in that car, and Helen's got her eyes closed, and she's giving it this. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. She's speaking in this language that he don't understand. She's speaking in words that he's never heard before. And she says, make a left right here. Oh, make a left right here. Dad's eyes get big. He makes a left. And then all at once she does a little more resting. I'm telling you, in the prayer chamber, there's some people going to bite their fingernails and their fingers begin to bleed. There's some of you who've been up all night long. Why don't you just get in that chamber? Why don't you find a place of rest? Some of you, you're worried about your son. You're worried about your husband. You're worried about your health. You're worried about your money. My goodness, why don't you just find that said, Jesus, my teenage daughter has lost it. She is vexed. I can't do anything with her. Want to wear black all the time? Yeah. She's patting herself after some locos, and I don't know what to do with her. She's driving her family crazy. I mean, Jesus, my girl has lost it. I don't know what to do. Jesus said, well, it's not my time to give the children's bread to the household pets. Now, you think that makes somebody upset, don't you? But she said, no, no, no. No, no, no. I know you're a sea walker. I know you're a blind man healer. I know you're a leper cleanser. And if you can take the leprosy off of that man down there, then you can get whatever it is off of my teenage girl. I know you can. Jesus said, whoa. I've never seen so much things. He said, go, your daughter's healed. She delivered from that vexation of spirit.
Yes.
She said, Jesus, Jesus, I know you're not supposed to give me the bread that belongs to the children.
Come on.
And can I just have a crumb?
Yes.
Jesus, can I just have a crumb? I'm going to tell you about the table of God.
Yes.
Psalms chapter 23 says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Yes.
And I want everybody in this house to understand this right now. Inside that chamber, no wonder Isaiah said, come, my people. Said the crumbs will take care of the devil on this table. Can you hear me? He said the crumbs will take care of the devil. That's all you need is crumbs from the master table. But you know what? He's not giving us crumbs. He's giving us the whole loaf. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. I am the bread of life. Well, let's give him a thank you, Jesus, for that. Well, my great-grandmother had 16 children. They came out of a coal mining camp in eastern Kentucky. They came out of poverty. But Aunt Helen was the eldest of 16 children. She called Jeremiah Jerimar. And she called Isaiah Isar. Hallelujah. And for the word here, she said here. And for the word there, she said bar. But you want to hear the rest of the story?
Yes. Yes.
When she said, say what? The old timers, you say, Satan. Satan! Satan! Get out of here! But the demon said, what'd she say? And the devil said, you better get back out of our breath. That's what she said. You get out of here right now. By this world's standard, she was uneducated, she was poor, didn't have anything. But you know what? She knew in that chamber there was a table of power. She knew inside that chamber. And I remember I was preaching a few years back, and a preacher come up to me, older than I was, and he came up to me and said, are you talking about Helen? Are you talking about Mrs. Helen Birch? Sister Birch? I said, yes. He said, let me tell you. He said, I was one of 14 children. I had access teeth. He said, in my side of my jaw. He said, we had no money to go to the doctor. Had no money to go to the dentist. He said, my jaw was swollen. Infection. He said, I chewed at night. He said, I was sickly all the time. But he said, in that little country, Pentecostal church, he said, your Aunt Helen got up and she said, is the little boy here? Is the little boy here that has those bad teeth? She said, God, go and heal him tonight. And she said, come up here, son. He said, I was 12 years old. Said she went and got a bottle of oil. And she said, here, take a little bit of this. Put it in your mouth and swish it. And when I tell you to spit it in the handkerchief, you spit it in the handkerchief. He said, I put that olive oil in my mouth. And I began to swish. And he said, she began to pray. She shook. She manifested. She prayed. She glorified God. And then she went, wow. They got a big Shabbat. She said, here, honey, spit it in my handkerchief. He said, when I did, every bit of the infection came out of my jaw.
I went through a horrible divorce, and I didn't think I could make it.
but I met this fellow. Life was coming back, and I received a miracle. And everybody clapped their hands. He said this. He said, I was having financial trouble, but I received a miracle. I said, what in the world is going on? I'm in Sea World, and I'm about ready to have a wow. Hallelujah. I'm about ready to shout in this place. All at once, that girl, that African-American girl, she threw her head back, and she said, well, are you ready for a miracle? Ready as I can be. Yeah. Are you ready for a miracle? The Spirit sets you free.
Go ahead.
Your praise comes from the chamber. dryer. Your dryer is some old leak somewhere. But you don't get your praise in a big hallelujah coliseum. You get your praise in a prayer chamber. You find out who's on the throne in the prayer chamber. I said you find out who's on the throne in the prayer chamber. You find out who's Lord in the prayer chamber. We wouldn't have to cry, little sister Cherokee, all the way from North Carolina. You wouldn't have to say, come on, let's praise Him. Come on, let's love Him. You're the Lord good, and the Lord good. Yes, yes, hallelujah, glory to God. Stand up, sit down, spin around, turn around, put your hand up, put your hand up. Simon said, shout. Simon said, don't shout. The Holy Ghost said, you wouldn't have to do that. Do you hear me? I said, you wouldn't have to do that.
Hallelujah.
Because, listen, when you come through the fire, when you come through, when you pray something through, there's a praise inside of you. When you pray just out of financial mess, there's a praise inside of you. worst perception there is. We've lived in this house for 18 years. And if it's pitch black dark, I will still reach for the lights and go all over that wall till I find it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I think, well, I won't need anything. I'll just turn off all the lights. So I go in the kitchen, I turn off all the lights. And then I'm going down the hallway like this. I know at the end of this hallway, my door is there. I know it's there. Oh, it's about 10 more feet away. Oh! So I've got some new bruised people coming to church. No lie on the path, brothers and sisters.
Oh, that's good.
That's why their marriage is crashing. That's why their homes are falling apart. That's why they come in bleeding and bruised. Because they're walking in darkness. Because they refuse to get in that prayer chamber and get you a candlestick.
Yes.
So you can see where you're going. Don't you?
Oh, man.
You know the rest of this story. parents, especially when you're from the country and I'm from the country, you feel like all eyes are watching you. You feel like, I don't want to do that. But you know, I'll tell you what it does. When you have acknowledged your need for Jesus, and you go one step further and you make it public, it gives everyone in the Father's house, it gives everyone a boost of encouragement. I'm so glad I kept feeding that calf. I really didn't feel like feeding this one, but I'm glad I did because the Lord came home tonight. I'm laughing. I'm so glad we kept the lights on. Because if he left that condition he was in and come to the Father's house, we would have been so sad. If the lights were off, no food on the table, no calf that was fed. Everybody got lazy. Said, you know, come on now, this ain't too much. I'm going to ask you, you that raised your hands, there's two or three of you, three or four of you about it. I'm going to ask God to give you boldness to get out of your seat, come down here and say, I want to get my heart right with Jesus. Would you do that? Hallelujah. Just come back now. Come down. Anybody say that's me? I want to give my heart right with Jesus. Right now, and I want us to keep on praising Him, glorifying Him.